Sunday, June 25th, 1961. I stayed with Don Juan all afternoon on Friday. I was going to leave about 7 p.m. We were sitting on the porch in front of his house, and I decided to ask him once more about the teaching. It was almost a routine question, and I expected him to refuse again. I asked him if there was a way in which he could accept just my desire to learn, as if I were an Indian. He took a long time to answer. I was compelled to stay because he seemed to be trying to decide something. Finally, he told me that there was a way, and proceeded to delineate a problem. He pointed out that I was very tired sitting on the floor, and that the proper thing to do was to find a spot, sitio, on the floor where I could sit without fatigue. I had been sitting with my knees up against my chest and my arms locked around my calves. When he said I was tired, I realized that my back ached and that I was quite exhausted. I waited for him to explain what he meant by a spot, but he made no overt attempt to elucidate the point. I thought that perhaps he meant that I should change positions, so I got up and sat closer to him. He protested my movement and clearly emphasized that a spot meant a place where a man could feel naturally happy and strong. He patted the place where he sat and said it was his own spot, adding that he had posed a riddle I had to solve by myself without any further deliberation. He got up and very sternly warned me that it might take me days to figure it out, but that if I did not solve the problem, I might as well leave, because he would have nothing to say to me. He emphasized that he knew where my spot was, and that therefore I could not lie to him. He said this was the only way he could accept my desire to learn about Mezcalito as a valid reason. He added that nothing in his world was a gift, and that whatever there was to learn had to be learned the hard way. He went around the house to the chaparral to urinate. He returned directly into his house through the back. I thought the assignment to find the alleged spot of happiness was his own way of dismissing me, but I got up and started to pace back and forth. I got tired of walking and sat down. After a few minutes, I sat somewhere else, and then at another place, until I had covered the whole floor in a semi-systematic fashion. I deliberately tried to feel differences between places, but I lacked the criteria for differentiation. I lay down on my back and put my hands under my head like a pillow. Then I rolled over and lay on my stomach for a while. I repeated this rolling process over the entire floor. For the first time, I thought I had stumbled upon a vague criterion. I felt warmer when I lay on my back. I rolled again, this time in the opposite direction, and again covered the length of the floor, lying face down on all the places where I had lain face up during my first rolling tour. I experienced the same warm and cold sensations, depending on my position, but there was no difference between spots. Then an idea occurred to me which I thought to be brilliant. Don Juan's spot. I sat there, and then lay, face down at first, and later on my back. But the place was just like all the others. I stood up. I had had enough. I wanted to say goodbye to Don Juan, but I was embarrassed to wake him up. I looked at my watch. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I had been rolling for 6 hours. At that moment, Don Juan came out and went around the house to the chaparral. He came back and stood at the door. I felt utterly dejected, and I wanted to say something nasty to him and leave, but I realized that it was not his fault, that it was my own choice to go through all that nonsense. I told him I had failed. I had been rolling on his floor like an idiot all night and still couldn't make any sense of his riddle. He laughed. He said that it did not surprise him because I had not proceeded correctly. I had not been using my eyes. Well, that was true, yet I was very sure he had said to feel the difference. I brought that point up, but he argued that one can feel with the eyes when the eyes are not looking right into things. As far as I was concerned, he said, I had no other means to solve this problem but to use all I had. My eyes. He went inside. I was certain that he had been watching me. I thought there was no other way for him to know that I had not been using my eyes. I began to roll again because that was the most comfortable procedure. This time, however, I rested my chin on my hands and looked at every detail. After an interval, the darkness around me changed. When I focused on the point directly in front of me, the whole peripheral area of my field of vision became brilliantly colored with a homogeneous greenish-yellow. The effect was startling. I kept my eyes fixed on the point in front of me and began to crawl sideways on my stomach, 1 foot at a time. Suddenly, at a point near the middle of the floor, I became aware of another change in hue. At a place to my right, still in the periphery of my field of vision, the greenish-yellow became intensely purple. I concentrated my attention on it. The purple faded into a pale but still brilliant color, which remained steady for the time I kept my attention on it. I marked the place with my jacket. Perceiving the hues had been so startling that I was sure it was a criterion of some sort, and perhaps there were other changes to be detected. Anyway, it was too late to leave, so I sat down, stretched my legs back, and began all over again. During this round, I moved rapidly through each place, passing Don Juan's spot to the end of the floor, and then turned around to cover the outer edge. When I reached the center, I realized that another change in coloration was taking place, again on the edge of my field of vision. The uniform chartreuse I was seeing all over the area turned at one spot to my right into a sharp verdigris. I took off one of my shoes and marked the point, and kept on rolling until I had covered the floor in all possible directions. No other change of coloration took place. I came back to the point marked with my shoe and examined it. It was located 5 to 6 feet away from the spot marked by my jacket, in a southeasterly direction. There was a large rock next to it. I lay down there for quite some time, trying to find clues, looking at every detail, but I did not feel anything different. I decided to try the other spot. I quickly pivoted on my knees and was about to lie down on my jacket when I felt an unusual apprehension. It was more like a physical sensation of something actually pushing on my stomach. I jumped up and retreated in one movement. The hair on my neck pricked up. My legs had arched slightly, my trunk was bent forward, and my arms stuck out in front of me rigidly with my fingers contracted like a claw. I took notice of my strange posture, and my fright increased. I walked back involuntarily and sat down on the rock next to my shoe. From the rock, I slumped to the floor. I tried to figure out what had happened to cause me such a fright. I thought it must have been the fatigue I was experiencing. It was nearly daytime. I felt silly and embarrassed, yet I had no way to explain what had frightened me, nor had I figured out what Don Juan wanted. I decided to give it one last try. I got up and slowly approached the place marked by my jacket. And again I felt the same apprehension. This time I made a strong effort to control myself. I sat down and then knelt in order to lie face down. But I could not lie, in spite of my will. I put my hands on the floor in front of me. My breathing accelerated. My stomach was upset. I had a clear sensation of panic and fought not to run away. I thought Don Juan was perhaps watching me. Slowly, I crawled back to the other spot and propped my back against the rock. I wanted to rest for a while to organize my thoughts, but I fell asleep. I heard Don Juan talking and laughing above my head. I woke up. "You found the spot," he said. "You asked me to teach you about Mescalito," he said. "I wanted to find out if you had enough backbone to meet him face to face. Mescalito's not something to make fun of. You must have command over your resources. Now I know I can take your desire alone as a good reason to learn. You really are going to teach me about peyote?" "I prefer to call him Mescalito. Do the same." Monday, August 7th, 1961. I arrived at Don Juan's house in Arizona about 7 o'clock on Friday night. 5 other Indians were sitting with him on the porch of his house. I greeted him and sat waiting for them to say something. After a formal silence, one of the men got up, walked over to me, and said, "Buenas noches." I stood up and answered, "Buenas noches." Then all the other men got up and came to me, and we all mumbled, "Buenas noches," and shook hands, either by barely touching one another's fingertips or by holding the hand for an instant and then dropping it quite abruptly. We all sat down again. They seemed to be rather shy, at a loss for words, although they all spoke Spanish. It must have been about 7:30 when suddenly they all got up and walked toward the back of the house. Nobody had said a word for a long time. Don Juan signaled me to follow, and we all got inside an old pickup truck parked there. I sat in the back with Don Juan and 2 younger men. There were no cushions or benches, and the metal floor was painfully hard, especially when we left the highway and got onto a dirt road. Don Juan whispered that we were going to the house of one of his friends who had 7 mescalitos for me.